So, stories like this. I have here three issues.
That's it? Going good.
Well, wait. Three issues which are somewhat novel in the sugya of bitochin. Three pieces that we don't often refer to. It just happened. Nothing happens. Everything is bashkocha. They happen to collect together. At this time. So I wanted to share them with you. Normally, the basic concept of bitochen is that a person has emunah, believes in Hashem. I believe that He exists. I believe that He's all-powerful. I believe that He gets involved in minute details of human existence. I believe that He is kind and generous and merciful and so forth and so on. And the bitochen is the next step of translating that into an emotional security, either an emotional sense of, I refuse to give up, I'll never give up, or even further, I am confident, I just feel it in my emotions, in my heart, that He will not let me down and He's going to deliver for me, and so forth and so on. It's based on the emunah, and it internalizes it emotionally. It takes it to the next step, which is the confidence that I have. Now, that confidence overrides something, and that's called Shem Avonam Achet. Maybe I don't deserve it, because the Rishonim say that really, everyone who has emunah should have bitochen. Because if you believe in Hashem, you believe in His koiches, you believe in His kind, you believe in His generous, you believe He's involved and everything, and He's all-powerful, so why is He not going to deliver for you? There's only one variable. That variable is, maybe I don't deserve it. So, bitochen overcomes that, and we've discussed that from many angles. But it seems that there's a resurgence of a question in emunah at the end of the mountain, of climbing the mountain of bitochen. That's one point. We'll discuss that. Okay, I just want to put that. Maybe we'll discuss it first, then we'll try to get to the other points too. If you look in the middle piece here, this is in this coming parsha, where Hashem says to Moshe, says the Meraglim went to Eretz Yisrael. The report was negative, except for Kolev and Yoshua, and Klal Yisrael is in a panic. What are we going to do? So Hashem says, "Adona lo yaminu bi b'chol ha'oseh asher asisi b'kirbei." How much longer will they refuse to believe in me with all the miracles I did? Now note the word belief. Believing me sounds like believing in my ability to deal with this situation. Emuna, not bitochen. The Ralbag says, this is the Ralbag on this parsha, says, "Hato eles hasheni hu lohidia sheroi lo'odim sheyosim b'Hashem b'vtachoi." We see from this parsha, we learn a lesson. It's appropriate to put your trust in Hashem. This parsha is talking about trust, not emunah, but bitochen. Kol shekein kishnizbar loy ki hu imoy b'mashu hu roitzel asos. Certainly in a situation like this, kol shekein, not only normally, but certainly in a situation where Hashem says, I'm taking you into Eretz Yisrael, this is what I want, this is the purpose, this is what I did, and I'm with you, I'll make sure everything's good. So, certainly a person has to have bitochen to trust that Hashem will deliver. Haloitira, and now haloitira means this is how we learn the lesson from this parasha. Mashikora li Yisroel mehoram ipnei shalei rotzo yishoin al yud Hashem yisal birush ha'oretz. Look at the terrible things that happened to Klal. They had to spend another 40 years in the Midbar. What happened to them? Because they didn't want to rely on that which Hashem says, I appoint this, take me into Eretz Yisroel. No, they decided, ubocharu l'shloach shomer aglim. No, it's not good enough. Hashem's word and directive is not good enough. We're going to send Meraglim to spies to see. And of course, that caused this whole confusion. And this, despite im'itzim ha'niflois she'osolem Hashem yisaleh, with the strength of the miracles that Hashem did for them until this point, Yitzias Mitzrayim, Kriyas Yamsuf, Ma'ibin Ar-Sinai, the Midbar that they were in so far, Asher ho'yeroi she'asigu mehem, they should have learned from these experiences of all the miracles. The hand Hashem is not limited, will not fall short, is not going to be held short, is going to fall short of delivering everything that that He wants to do. So basically what he says is as follows. You see from here, you gotta have emunah, you gotta have bitachon, and even when you didn't have this special indication that Hashem really is going to help you in this, always have to have bitachon in the chesed Hashem. And he said, and you see from this parsha, why? Because they didn't trust Hashem. They asked for meraglim. Look at the terrible things that happened. And what should they have done? They should have learned from all the miracles that Hashem is capable of doing everything He wants, and therefore they shouldn't have panicked. That's very confusing. If you tell me I should have learned that Hashem is capable, you're telling me I have a chesaron in emunah, which is what the pasuk seems to say. But he says that we're learning from here the inyan of bitochen, which does not seem to be in the pasuk, which is al betzara, that we can deal with. And that's not the lesson. The lesson is they should have looked at all of these miracles and seen Hashem has no limitation. Ein yad Hashem tikzo me'asos kol asher yachvitz. Hashem can do anything He wants. I would have said they should have looked at all the miracles and seen Hashem's chesed and see how much He loves us and see how much He has rachmonis and see how much He does for us, and therefore we can have bitochen. Because he's talking about they should have learned the lesson of bitochen. But he's saying they should have learned the lesson of bitochen. He doesn't say that. They should have learned the lesson of emunah. They knew the lesson of emunah. Without the lesson of emunah, you can't even begin the parsha of bitochen, right? If you don't believe in Hashem, if you don't believe that He cares, if you don't believe that He's powerful, then what are you trusting? There's nobody to trust.
Yeah.
The teretz is you do. So if they have the emunah, so now what are you telling me? They should have learned to have emunah. So. And what I see from here is something that I must admit, I never thought of before I saw this. And that is as follows. At the end of the climb to the highest levels of bitochen, which they were probably eligible for, all the miracles they saw, and it was the greatest generation. This is the Dor Dea. They were the greatest of the greats, even though they made mistakes. The mistakes are not as it seems to say in the Pasuk, but rather of a very minuscule level just for them. They're such great people, there were serious mistakes. So such people said they were climbing this bitochen. Of course, we can trust Hashem, trust Hashem, trust Hashem. What happens? At the end of the process, there's another nisoyan. The Yetzirah makes another nisoyan, and that nisoyan is, you know, yeah, of course I trust Hashem. Of course I know Hashem is full of chesed and He doesn't even... And even if I'm not worthy, He's done so much for me in the past, even though I wasn't worthy, and He'll have had to continue to do it. All that is true. But you know something? This is such a formidable obstacle. I don't know. I'm getting nervous. What do you mean? Of course, I started with emunah. I elevated the bitochen. And now at the end, He throws in a monkey wrench, the Yetzirah. He says, how do you know we can do it after all? If it was a small thing, of course He could take care of it. You know, I mean, I have it in my fundraising business. That's the only part of business that I have any business association with. If I knew I had to make $1,000 today, I could trust Hashem that I can get $1,000 today. If I knew I had to make $100,000 or $200,000 or $2 million today, I don't know. Not because it makes it, to Him, zero's a zero to Him. He doesn't care about zeros, you know? Okay, more zeros, less zeros, it's all the same thing. It's all zero. He doesn't care. But I can't imagine Him doing it. How can He do it? How could He bring into my office today $2 million or $200 million or $200,000? It just doesn't happen. So what happens is at the end of the climb to bitochen, that means I started with emunah and I believe in Hashem, I believe in everything. Then as I get to the bitochen, I'm getting closer to the realization that it's going to happen. As I get to the point where it's ready to happen, a new Yetzirah comes in. I don't know if he can pull this one off. This one is too big for him. Memela, what the lesson for us means, that if we wish to maintain the course of bitochen, then we have to constantly work on the emunah as well. And we have to be suspicious that at the end, when I'm starting to feel that real, he does. I'm not worthy, but he did. You know how much he's done for me until now when I wasn't worthy? So I'm sure he'll continue. All of a sudden, something else is going to come in and say, I don't know, this one, I don't think he could pull off. I don't know. Could he? There's so many zeros. I don't know if he could pull off so many zeros. We have to fight that too. So it's very important to be aware that as I grow in bitochen, I have to commensurately keep that emunah focused. And when I look
Has
at
that the question.
What's that?
Has that answered?
No, so that he's saying the reason that they were lacking in their bitochen was because at the end of the bitochen, what interfered with the bitochen was a renewed question of whether he could do it or not. And therefore that shoots the bitochen. If let's say I have bitochen, I'm trusting Hashem's going to do it, he doesn't care, I'm not worthy, he does for me all the things I'm not worthy, I'm confident, it's going to go through. And then all of a sudden I start to think, I don't know, this one seems to be too difficult for him. This one is over. I don't know, maybe this one he can't do. So he says, that was their mistake. They reached levels of trust. They were ready to rely on Hashem to help them, despite the fact that they may not have been worthy, because they have a track record. He has a track record, they know. But the last minute, what happens? Yad Hashem tikson. I'm not sure. So he says, because that's what he says, they should have learned from all the miracles, not just that Hashem helps and does and cares and gets involved, which they did learn from the miracles. But there's one thing they didn't learn, and that ruined the bitochen. The one thing they didn't learn was, at the end of the day, when you're all ready to trust Hashem and you feel confident that it's going to be good, at the end of the day, all of a sudden, you can start to say, I don't know, this one, I never had one so difficult, you know. He's performed on a lower level, but this is the biggest deal of my life. This is, look, the giants there in Eretz Yisrael, they're burying the dead all the time now. You know what's going on over there? Big fortresses, I'm scared. And maybe he can't do this one. That sets in, and that can spiral and interfere, start a downward spiral in the whole bitochen. So that's how it answers the question, because that really is, it's this renewed focus and concern on emunah, which is what undermined the bitochen. And that's why it's very important that as we grow in bitochen, we have to constantly rejuvenate and revisit and re-strengthen the basic emunah. And the basic emunah is, like we quoted that all the time, it says, Ein matzol Hashem milo hishia. Nothing restrains Hashem from saving. Ein yad Hashem tiktzo me'asois kol asher yachboitz. There's nothing that holds back Hashem to do everything that he wants. Okay, that's one concept. Now, let's take another one. This is a little bit interesting on the bottom. This is a piece from the Tur, who was really quoting and saying Pshat. He's not quoting, but he's saying Pshat in the Ramban. Kal Yisrael were vayihi om kimis oinan in ra. They were complaining in Parshas Baalisko. Complaining, they want meat, they want this, they want that. They were in a complaining mode. And different Rishonim explain in different ways what that complaint was all about. The Tur and the Ramban say as follows. Vahanochem be'enai. As they distanced from Har Sinai, they came into this great desert. In that first travel, the first trip that they were making, they had Sarah and they said, what are we going to do in this midbar? A midbar is a terrible place. What are we going to eat? Manishta, what are we going to drink? How are we going to tolerate the, you know what it means to travel in a midbar? Midbar is the heat, it's unbearable, and we're going to have to move around all the time. How are we ever going to get out of it? Right? A living person complains. Shehu koyev umitztayr al atzmoy, because he is mitztayr on his situation. Vekasher omar hakosov misoinenim, shehu koyevim umitztayrim. When it said misoinenim, they were complaining. They're having tsar about these tsar of how are we going to get out? What are we going to eat? What are we going to do? Which is they were lacking in bitochen, obviously. Hare hizkir hachet shezehoyo. He's masked the chet shezehoyo rabbe ene Hashem. Shehoyu lohem lo leches besimcho uvetuv leivov meroiv kol toiv asher nosan lohem. They didn't go with simcha and a good heart, so appreciative of all the good Hashem had done. And they went as if they were forced, were being forced into this midbar, and were complaining, how are we going to survive? So I want to ask you a question. What's going on over here? The Ramban says, the Tur says, that they were lacking in bitochen. They said, manoichal, manishte, echneitze, manase. How? Those are questions of, we're not relying on Hashem. We're nervous. We're scared. So what does he say the chet was? He says they should have gone besimcha uvetuv levov meroiv kol hatoiva that Hashem had done for them. In other words, I think you see from here a very interesting concept, and that is, the basis of my bitochen is going to be everything Hashem does. Look at all the chesed He did. Look what He did for us. He took us out of Mitzrayim. He took us through the Yamsuf. He brought us to Har Sinai. He gave us mon, everything great, great, all the chasonim He does, Hashem. That's not enough. That's besides emunah. Of course, you have to have the emunah. And then that should be, the chesed Hashem should be the source of bitochen. He says you need something else. You have to be happy with what He did. Your heart has to be feeling good about it. You have to appreciate it. It's not enough to know about it. It has to make me happy. It has to make, I feel, oi, oi. If I say, I know all the wonderful things He's done, I'm still miserable. I'm still jealous. I'm still unhappy. You know, I'm hard to satisfy. I walk around depressed all the time. I'm not satisfied. Whatever I get, I want more. Such a person is going to lose the ability to develop his bitochen from the very thing that should be the source of his bitochen. The source of his bitochen should be that, look what Hashem has done. Look at the rave kol ha-tova. He's done everything. You know what it means in Yitzias Mitzrayim? You know the miracles that took place. You know what happened on the Yamsuf? You know what? The privilege of Maim and Har Sinai. You know what it means to get mon at your doorstep every day and alechem yomayim b'yoyim ha-shishi? Achayich. Wow. But unless I can bring myself to say, wait, I'm happy with this. I'm so happy. I appreciate it so much. My heart feels so warm by the chesed Hashem. If we don't internalize the chesed emotionally with an emotional enjoyment and happiness and appreciation, it won't serve as the stepping stone to give us the confidence in the future. Even though I know everything Hashem does, I know He does chasodim to people who are not worthy. I saw Him do it to me. But if I'm not happy about it, I don't even know exactly why this is true. There's something about the satisfaction with what He did that without it, I don't really appreciate it. I don't really see it. If I'm not happy about the chesed, and if I don't feel good in my heart about it, then I don't really see the chesed. I don't, okay, yeah, okay. Yeah, I know He does chesed, yeah, chesed. We call it chesed. Ches, samach, dalet. The chesed has to make me happy. If it doesn't make me happy, I can't appreciate it. If I can't appreciate it, I can't use it as a stepping stone to give bitochen. So which means that for a person to have bitochen in the future, he has to not only look at the past and say, hey, look what Hashem does. I'm sure He's going to continue. I'm confident He's going to continue to do it. He has to, wow, I feel so good about it. I appreciate it so much. Look what He's done for me. And count your blessings and revisit it with appreciation and with recognition and with, oh, wow, wow, I did, wow, that's going to give me the strength to be able to be confident in the future. Very interesting. Also a novel idea, which I frankly, I must admit, until I saw this Shabbos, whenever I saw it, I don't know, I didn't realize that was also a necessary ingredient to inspire bitochen. Okay, now let's go to one more ingredient, okay? This is a kapitel in Tilim, it's Perek Kuf Zayin, the last posuk. Kuf Zayin is a perek that discusses a lot of the shortcomings that people have. And at the end, David HaMelech says, Mi chochom v'yishmar eile, who is a wise man and guards all of these things, in other words, protects himself from doing these mistakes. V'yisboinenu chaste, and they left out the word chaste Hashem. And he focuses and he studies and he analyzes the Chasdei Hashem. That's what the Pasuk says. So this is the Radak. The Radak comes along and says, V'yisboinu Chasdei Hashem, she'yaseh im oisei ritzoyne. What Chasdei Hashem should he pay attention to? Should he focus on? The Chasdei Hashem that Hashem does with the tzaddikim who do His will. So in other words, he says, Mi chochom v'yishmael, you're going to keep all these things. V'yisboinu Chasdei Hashem, see what happens to tzaddikim when they behave properly. So the Radak now is bothered by a question. Ki afal pi sheroye odam b'olam hazeh sholim l'rishoyim v'ro l'tzadikim. Even though a person sees in this world that there are rishoyim that have it good and tzadikim that suffer, the tzadik v'raloy is going to start to bother him. You just told him, rejoice and appreciate yizbeinu how Hashem does chesed, and He does good with those who do His will. Sometimes those who do His will are not getting so well, and sometimes those who don't do His will seem to be doing very well. So there's tzaddik v'ra'alei v'rosh v'toyla. That's going to bother him. I'm trying to appreciate the chesed Hashem with his tzaddikim, but I see too many kashas, too many kashas. So he says, im yisboinen ha'odah b'maisi ha'oilam. He gives an etzah. If a person will focus on what's going on in the world, yire b'roiv, in the majority of cases, ki ha'keil, you will see, ha'keil keil emunah v'einov. Hashem, God is a God of trust, of truth, and there's no avlas. He doesn't do anything that's inappropriate. V'noisin l'kol ish kidrochov. He gives each person according to what's appropriate for him. In other words, he claims, this is a very interesting claim, if one will study the matzav of the world, and the suffering of the righteous, and the good of the evil, he will be able to make some sense out of it, in the majority of cases. But then listen what he says. The hame'at, and the minority, that I can't make any sense out of it, I can't even come up with a scenario that would make sense. She'ira shelo yelech al seder, seems it's not going according to any rational, good laws. Yoyma b'libo ki yokel yisporch yodea lom ozeh. Hashem knows. We don't know. The Yismoch Asichus, and he'll rely on his lack of knowledge, Li, on me. For the Yismoch Avel Lokel, and he won't put the blame on Hashem. An amazing piece. He says like this. He says, a person looks at the world and he sees confusion. Tzadikim suffering, Roshoim doing well. Very confusing. He says, I'll be roiv, if you pay attention and you analyze and you search. I don't know whether he means you can come up with definitive answers, because I don't know if we can know definitive answers, but at least enough of a scenario that I could understand, hey, I get it, I can hear it, I can imagine what's going on here. I don't know for sure, but I can imagine. And then he says, that's in the majority of cases. Then in the minority, the ma'at, that you can't do that, he says, you'll already be able to rely. Hashem sees better. Hashem knows better. Like Hashem said to Eoiv, Eifo Yisrael b'yosti oretz, you don't know the whole picture, and we can rely on that. So he said, very interesting, he says, if we don't do that, he says, we're not going to be able to rely on it. He says, if you study the roiv and you find out that you can make some sense, you can have at least some theory, some theoretical, some concept that maybe will make sense out of it, then you could take the miut and say, yeah, I understand. Hashem knows better, and I can't. But if it was all confusion, we might not be able to do that. Now listen to this. Why can't I just take this, the Chesed Hashem, that was so powerful in the world, and make that me appreciate everything Hashem does is for the good? Kol ma'adav rachel l'tav ovid. He has such a track record. There's so much good. I have to go explain the confusion? Just focus on the chesed. More chesed, more chesed, more chesed. Look what Hashem does. Look at all the good. You can find so much good in this world. There is so much good if you look for it. But he says, no, that's not enough. All of this chesed, which in the case that we learned with the Ralbag, which could have brought them to the highest levels of bitochen, they could have come to that, except then the emunah question came in. All of that is not enough to deal with the confusion of tzaddik v'ra'al. He says, in order to get that confusion away so I can rely on the chesed that Hashem does, and he does chesed for tzaddikim, and the fact that sometimes tzaddikim suffer doesn't bother me, in order to do that, I have to mamish focus on trying to understand the suffering. And in the majority of cases, he says, I will. Then the minority of situations, I'll rely on Hashem. Then once he's proven himself in more than 50% that I see, I can understand it. Well, I know for sure, but at least I have some scenario, then I'm ready to rely. But if without that, it's going to be too much for me to rely on that, even though I know all the extent of Hashem's chesed. Yeah?
Doesn't try to figure out what happens to and who. I mean, like, it's imahar achadar Hashem, no?
No.
Over here, because he doesn't seem to be saying you should do that. He's just saying, even if you're kash, I'll pee right if you look. Many times it does make sense.
You'll see it.
He's not saying you're supposed to do
no,
that.
No, he says, yerbarevke, keel, keel, emuna. At least you have to see it. If you look, at least you have to look.
What are you trying to figure out how each person's life goes, and this guy does that, you're being mahar achadar Hashem. You're trying to figure out who deserves what, who deserves what.
No, it's not being mahar. I can tell you. I'll tell you a story. I don't know if I ever told you the story. But just one story.
But okay, one other question also, if that's how a person's looking at the world, and they're essentially saying, that everything is kafi what a person deserves. Like the opposite of what we're saying now, that a person gives a tov yom or not. You know?
No, he gives us what we deserve, and with the bitochen we can even go beyond that. That's bitochen always takes us beyond what we deserve. But let me just give you one little delicate scenario. This Sunday was the 41st yahrzeit of my son that passed away as a young child. He was 5.5 years old. We lived in California. And what happened was, 2 weeks before the end of the year, it was like the very end of the first school year after we had established the yeshiva there, the end of the year in June. We had a girls' school, a boys' school. It was very nice stuff we were doing there. And I asked one of the teachers to speak at a Malava Malka for the girls. And he told the story. So he said, the couple, they didn't have children for many years. They went to the Rebbe, they got a brocha, they had a child. The child lived for 5 years, then the child died. And the woman was already too old to have children, and they were all broken. They go to the Rebbe, and he's talking, what happened, what's going on? He says, I'll tell you what happened. He says, this child that you had was an neshoma of a huge, giant tzaddik from previous generations. This tzaddik was born as a prince in a palace. His father was a king, a goy. At age 5, he became enamored with his Jewish tutor, and he became a ger tzedek. He ran away from the palace at age 5. Ran away, everything changed his whole life, and became a ger tzedek, and lived a life of super piety. When his time came to go, he comes upstairs, and they say, you have the most perfect life. You were a super tzaddik. But 5 years, Tarfus, Shabbos, this, whatever, you know. You have to come back to the world. In the Gilgul, that's what there was, Gilgul Neshamas. Neshamas sometimes has to come back to this world. You have to come back to this world to go through those 5 years, to be mashlim, to perfect the ultimate perfection. This child that you had was this Neshama. And you were very privileged. I was fuming at this guy. So I asked you to tell a story to entertain the girls on a girl's Malava Malka. It's maybe a very important story, but it's not entertainment, that's depressing, that's 2 weeks later, I was on the plane to go to Eretz Yisrael to bury my son. And all of a sudden, I turned around to my wife and I said, it hit me, he was talking to us. And I got such a nechoma from that story. And it happened to be my child was 5 years old, 5.5 years old. And this was an neshama from a great person of another. Now, I don't know for sure. I happen to be, I think I even know whose neshama it was. My wife used to shut me up when I said that. But I'm quite certain, I have many signs that I know whose neshama it was, a very great person. But anyway, yeah, but at least it's a scenario. I said, this was a great neshama that had to come back to this world. We were privileged for 5 years to nurture this child, and interestingly, when we came back from sitting Shiva Yerushalayim, a cousin of my wife's came to visit us in Los Angeles, and what she said at the time, we were after the Shiva, but she came, and what she said at the time is stuck in my mind more than anything else that anybody said. She said, you have to look at what you had, not at what you lost. And it was such a chizuk, and I thought I had, in this child, a privilege. He was only supposed to live for a certain amount of time. I was privileged to nurture, to bring, and to raise, and this child was amazing. The things he learned, I used to learn sophisticated learning with him before he even knew how to read Aleph Beis. And he was a brilliant kid, and he was like, I'll never forget the Shabbos before he passed away. Two things happened. So just to give you a sense, A.B. Rottenberg was out there with us. So A.B., I heard, overheard A.B. saying, Ari, I want to tell you something, come here, you know, because he was a cute kid people like to talk to. Wasn't interested in talking to Baby Rottenberg. So Baby was a smart man. So he said, Ari, I have a kasha. Got his attention, sat down, talked to him and learning. 5.5-year-old kid. The last Shabbos, that was the Shabbos by lunch. We had a bar mitzvah in the shul. That Shabbos, Shalosh Shudas, he used to go down to Shalosh Shudas, yes, like the singing there and this in shul. And I used to stay upstairs and learn with some people. He comes up and says, I'm not going to Shalosh Shudas anymore. I said, why? He says, because he heard them talking about one of the sodas that were on the table there that it's not kosher, may not be kosher. He says, so why can't you go to Shalosh Shudas? Just don't drink the soda. No! I'm not going to Shalosh Shudas. Sure enough, he didn't go to Shalosh Shudas anymore. Passed away a few days later. But I'm just saying, like, that these things gave me such a sense. I'm telling you, I had such a chizuk from it because I had a scenario. It was only a scenario. I don't know. And I think I know, but I don't know. But just the scenario was enough to give me chizuk to say, it's not, you know, it's not stam, it's not hefker. Hashem hasn't rescinded his chesed. He has a world with great complexity which he runs. And that seems to be the point over here. In order to maintain our confidence in Hashem, not to be shaken, not to have our emunah shaken by the suffering or the confusion of tzaddik v'ra'alev or Rosh HaLetoyim, we have to be able to make some attempt, and we can, the Radak tells us, make some sense out of it. And if we make sense out of the bulk of it, then the rest that we can't will be able to answer that Hashem knows better. But just to tell people, oh, chesed Hashem, Hashem knows better, don't ask any questions, that... Yeah, that may not be enough, because that's sometimes the confusion is so painful that it overwhelms. Okay. Wow.